Thanks, Agenda Paper 7. The issue is about the contribution-based promises within the scope of IS 19. The objective of this paper is to ask the Interpretations Committee to confirm the scope agreed in a previous meeting. We saw it has been a while since the committee discussed this issue last time, and we thought it's worthwhile confirming the scope. And also, we think the important topic on this issue is the scope, so that's why we brought this paper today. In this paper, we conducted an analysis to see how the agreed scope fits into various types of benefit promises. And also, we provided an overview of the major remaining issues to be addressed at the future meetings if the committee proceeds with the scope. So the question for the committee is in page 5. Do you agree that the staff analysis is in line with the proposed scope the committee envisaged, and also the proposed scope is sufficiently narrow?
Daniel, did you want to add anything before we go on?
No.
Okay. Comments? This has been the issue every time we've tried to deal with this, or anybody's tried to deal with it. Laurence?
I have two comments. I think it is okay to work with the scope as you have it at the moment. And we just notice that at the moment you have in your scope carry average plans for which today they are dealt with under IS 19 with the projected union credit method. And this is working fine.
Yeah.
So there are no problems with them. We'll remain while the work is going forward to ensure that at least for these, which are quite spread, we will not be creating problems. So that's the first comment. The second comment was in your analysis about in paragraph 20 about the possible measurements alternative for contribution-based promises. Have you considered looking at the proposals in the insurance ED when you have liabilities that provide returns on the assets as well? So maybe an alternative to consider whether you may have treatments that are similar to those that exist in the insurance ED.
Okay.
I don't know yet, but in the research, maybe what's looking at it.
Tony?
I'm conscious I've not been part of the previous discussion, but a couple of things about the scope trouble me a little bit. In trying to address the measurement anomalies that arise from projecting forward and then discounting back when the benefit is linked to the value of a specific asset, seems to me that this would leave out quite a large number of arrangements that would suffer from that anomaly by excluding something that's subject to demographic risk. So anything that is converted into a pension that is paid by the entity and the entity retains the risk for that would seem to be automatically excluded because it'll be subject to mortality risk. And similarly, there are a number of cash balance plans and that sort of thing where there is at least an initial vesting period, so you need to work for a certain number of years. And again, this would seem to exclude those from the scope. And so I guess I'm just a bit troubled that quite a large population of the types of plans that suffer from the measurement anomaly would be excluded from the scope. And I don't really understand why. And a second observation is, I think, similar to Laurence's, there are some sort of almost plain vanilla defined benefit plans that end up paying some sort of fixed return that we don't have any problems with that would be caught. And I wonder whether there would be something, whether the scope could refer to some sort of asset return risk or something, which would exclude a plan that was just paying a fixed return. And so I'm conscious I'm the newbie in this respect, but it just seemed to me that there were a couple of anomalies in the way the scope had been drafted.
And this has been the problem. And, you know, from the very early days when the board tried to crack this one, the staff came up and said, well, a career average plan that has been happily bubbling along in IAS 19 is economically the same as a defined contribution plan with a guaranteed return. And yet, if you phrase the question as a defined contribution plan with a guaranteed return, people are offended by projected unit credit. And if you define the problem as a career average plan, there you goes in one ear and out the other. So therein lies the rub, and you're not an outlier in being troubled by that. Joanna, I think you wanted to get in.
Yes, I did. And I guess it's, maybe I haven't read this right, but I got very confused by your paragraphs effectively, which you call paragraphs, 11 to 18, in that in one sentence, in paragraph 15, or it's the link of the scope that we're saying that we want to do and that you've analysed and say, yes, we should do, with what was in the 2008 discussion paper and the ISB saying, well, that was too broad, and effectively how we, they couldn't do anything with that. And you've put in paragraph 15, you are concerned that the agreed scope is not sufficiently narrow for the purposes of an limited scope amendment. So I wasn't sure quite how we ended up with the conclusion that we end up with. I'm confused by what you've written and then your conclusion that says, yep, the scope that we've suggested is all fine, because there seem to be some very big caveats, particularly in paragraphs 15 and 16, in terms of, and 17, yep. You know, in terms of, well, it can only be done through a comprehensive review. And I'm just worried that we're going to start down this track with the scope, which we can all say, yes, we think it is the scope that is needed, perhaps, to deal with it, but it's an enormous scope. Actually, is it something that we as a committee can or should be doing? The ISB said no to it in 2008.
Well, in fairness, the IASB made a priority judgment and said its number one priority was to get rid of smoothing. And that it didn't want, it visualized this potentially delaying that.
So yeah. Is it right now, in terms of priorities of other projects, for the bigger ISB, of which at the end of the day we are a part, we are a committee on it, is it right that we should be spending all the time that CASU is inevitably going to have to spend in terms of actually working on them, in terms of our priorities?
I take your point. The other side of it is that the days of a traditional defined benefit plan are numbered, and this is the plan of the future.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that is the problem that we face. And
I guess a conceptual problem for us as a committee, and I haven't really thought about it, in terms of us defining priorities, if you like, linked to the ISB program where they have defined priorities, given that this is effectively more than a limited scope. Yes, it's limited scope, but it's a big limited scope project. Where does the ISB fit in terms of determining whether we have got the priority right? I mean, maybe the ISB as a whole, it would be better off saying to us, well, actually, in our priorities, we would rather you spend the hours, X hours, that you're going to have to spend on this, actually doing something else that's on our list that we haven't got time to get to. Because we've created this off our own list, not off the work program list of the ISB. And I'm sort of looking at Alan when I'm saying that.
Alan?
Yeah. There is a grey area, but the way I see it is it's basically maintenance. And we've talked about implementation or maintenance of IFRSs. And so if you've got an issue within a current standard where you think, you know, got to be careful with scope creep, but where you're actually trying to maintain as, you know, life goes on and you're trying to make sure standard keeps up a little bit. If you think of it as maintenance, it's an ongoing process. Well, that's what I have to think about. But essentially, we have to go through a formal agenda proposal to put a major project on the agenda. And what we've done with the overhaul of the due process handbook, it says you guys look after maintenance. And so you're dealing with existing standards and saying, you know, we think we need to make a change here or a tweak there. And it is a case of making sure that we don't overstep that and start to get into major changes. Like the investment property one you've just discussed is probably getting more into a fundamental change. So there aren't, in terms of due process as well, this is mainly about efficient use of resources. It's not about us doing something where we're overstepping the mark, because everybody gets to comment on this anyway. So we're not going to sneak anything under the radar. But we don't want the resources spent, as you say, going off on a tangent somewhere when, in fact, there could be five or six other things we could be doing.
And I don't perceive this as diverting resources now. Doesn't mean I won't say, come back to you in 2 months and say, hey, maybe this wasn't such a great idea after all. But right now, I don't see that as well. Laurence?
I would just remind that this is an issue of significant divergence in practice and quite spread where you have such type of plans. So.
I think
and we have not even yet a try.
One of the main reasons we thought it would be good to bring back something like this to you is just to make sure that you're making the decision with your eyes open, so you know that it is going to be a broad set of promises. We are really going to need to introduce a new category of promises with potentially different recognition and measurement requirements to other defined benefit plans under IS 19. As long as you make that decision with, you know, an informed decision, then it's yours to make. You know.
Scott?
My eyes are open. I don't know how informed I am, but I'm trying. Given all that, I would vote that we go ahead. It's possible it turns out that in the end, we feel like we can't address everything, but I would think we'd start out with the broad scope, and if it turns out, I mean, I can envision this, you know, there are some plans that promise contributions plus a fixed return. There are some that promise contributions plus a variable return that's tied to an index or a group of assets. Then there are some plans that promise the higher of a fixed return or the actual or whatever. I mean, there may be some combination in there that we can't figure out how to do, but it seems like if we start with building blocks, I'm just kind of envisioning how you guys are going to wind up having to put together a paper, it seems like we could at least knock off some of them. And then if, you know, there's a, if there are some complicated combinations of guarantees and fixed and variable and notional and actual contributions and what have you, well, there may be some group of plans that we just say we can't figure out. But the fact that that might happen, I don't think it should lead us to say, well, the scope's too big, we should not try.
John?
I don't support proceeding. I think the scope is way too broad. I mean, I think paragraph 12 summarizes the effect of this project is to divide current set of promises that fall within the category of defined benefits, for which there's most of IAS 19 is dedicated to recognition and measurement, into two categories of defined benefit promises and contribution-based promises that require different recognition and measurement requirements. So we're basically designing new recognition and measurement requirements for a new category of sort of not quite sure what the scope is set of plans, and I just think it would be never ending, and I don't think it's the work of this committee to do that.
Tony?
Yeah, I'd just like to come back, because I thought one thing I didn't say is that I would echo what Laurent said, that there is currently diversity, and I think the introduction of IAS 19 revised has probably led some people to think about whether the accounting they were applying before, which is a model very similar to IFRIC D9, is no longer acceptable, and it's forcing them down a route of what I think to many would look like anomalous accounting. So I would very much support going ahead with it, even if I might prefer a slightly different scope that covers things with vesting conditions and so on. But even if we don't do that, I would still support going ahead with it. And if there's some things we can't address, then tick them, cross them off later.
We have two IOSCO comments. Let's see if you all agree with each other. Marie?
We do. We've been with.
Yeah, just to say that there's a lot of diversity today in practice, so even if I agree it's quite big, I just encourage you just to give a try and see what you can do.
Really?
I was just going to add, I think it was very insightful observations about in the middle of the conversation that, in essence, the marketplace for compensating people's retirement has outpaced standard setting, if you will. We have a perfect model for defined benefit plans, and nobody does those anymore, except, by the way, for the record, the U.S. government still has it. So I can tell you how they work.
The U.S. government follows not your U.S. guidance for it, doesn't
help. Right. But we have a perfect model for what no one does anymore. But unfortunately for accounting, the world did not migrate 180 degrees from full defined benefit to full defined contribution, where we have another full, you know, complete accounting model. They stopped. The migration currently is sort of halfway in between, for which we have no, you know, literally designed accounting model. So to me, it's the strategic question is, so how much is the board worried about that? You know, knowing that without a model, you're going to it's clear you're going to have diversity in practice. I mean, that's what brings us here. So then if they're worried about it, then it's a question of priorities. You know, does it rank above anything else they're working on, or recognizing it's a little bit more than a tweak, given the impetus for the diversity, you know, is it something they want this group to do? And then, to me, though, there's a difference. They can ask you to, okay, try to build us a model, you know, and we'll, in essence, be their staff on the project. Or they could tell you guys, you know, could you just declare some boundaries? I mean, in other words, is there some things that are just sort of self-evident truths about what you should do with these? And so you can sort of range practice diversity from here to here without setting out to literally design the accounting model, which is what normally the board would do in its own process. So I think you can say we're going to build a model. Are you really going to build a model like what a new model would be, or are you going to, can you sort of declare some, I want to say, more obvious things. I don't want to say that the people who didn't get them are not with it, but could you declare some things that sort of circumscribe it for the time being? That might be another way forward.
Okay. Let me see if I can draw a summary here. With the exception of John's hell no, I didn't hear any other objections. I heard some uncertainties about where this might take us, and that's given the number of other groups that have run screaming out the door when confronted with this. That's reasonable conservatism. That said, I think most people would like us to keep trying for a while. We will update the board, as we always do, about what went on at a meeting, so the board will have the opportunity, as they always do, to intervene and say, no, we'd rather y'all didn't go there. I think that unlikely. But then I never bat but about 500 on predicting what the board will do. But I think that's what we will do then. I think that's the direction to the staff, is let's keep the scope as it is right now and see where it takes us.
Okay.
Joanna, last comment.
I support what you're saying. I just wonder whether we should be slightly more proactive with the board as opposed to the normal thing, which is that they can say, don't go down that track. I actually say we did actually discuss whether it was beyond a tweak and therefore it fell into their valley whack, and therefore we were almost asking you, are you happy for us to do it? So be proactive about that.
The only, that's certainly something that we could do. My only reservation, frankly, is that some of the board members have expressed concern that we're going to them too often and asking for advice, that maybe we should be taking things a little bit farther first. And that's what, and that's a gut feel. I'd invite any of the three board members to disagree with me if they'd like. I think there's a time for that. I'm just not sure this is it. So I take your point. It's absolutely a fair point. But I think it's incumbent on us to be able to give them a little more before we ask that. Pat, Philippe, Gary, any problems with that? Okay. Okay, gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right.